Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on Past Gas, we're talking about Jan Martinbrough, the subject of the Gran Turismo movie, and his rise to fame through online racing, how he went from driving on a sim rig to driving on a real track.
Well, now it's more common.
Now it's a little bit more common. He is one of the first, though.
He is one of the first. He wasn't the first, because that show had actually been out for a while. But he had the coolest story.
And cool
he
got story.
A movie. He's a cool guy, too.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, too. So let's get into it. Jan Martinbrough. Summer 2011 in Cardiff, Wales. A sliver of sun peeks out from the gloom and through the shades of 19-year-old Jan Martinbrough's childhood bedroom. The beam cascades across his homemade wooden sim racing rig. As Jan prepares himself for a day of gaming, he gives a cursory turn to the steering wheel and tests out the resistance of his pedals. He turns on his PlayStation, as he has done thousands of times before, but today is different. He has no idea that his life is about to change forever. Today, he will enroll in the GT Academy competition. In just a few short years, Hollywood would make a movie about his life. And that's the least interesting thing about him. How did this young Brit go from sim racing in his bedroom to international motorsport stardom? How did he outrace 8 million drivers online to solidify himself as the most successful GT Academy winner of all time? And how are sim games like Gran Turismo leveling the playing field when it comes to racing? Today on Past Gas, we dive into the story of Jan Martinbrough. Let's get it!
We'll be right back after these messages. Now, back to the show.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going?
Joe?
Justin?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Those voices you hear are Jimmy Hilton.
What's up?
And Justin Freeman.
Oh, man, I'm on a podcast.
You guys have seen the Gran Turismo movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What initial thoughts?
Honestly, if you haven't seen it yet, don't go in thinking about a racing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
It is very much a sports movie.
Oh.
It is a sports movie.
Okay. And that makes it good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. If you have the time to watch it, definitely watch it. It's a very inspiring story. They did it really well. They don't really focus on the technicalities of racing as much. Yeah. They make it a little bit more of a fantasy, you know?
Sure.
But it's good. It's actually very well shot.
Yeah. The one thing awesome. That I thought was really funny in that movie was he was like doing GT stuff, and then he was like, now you have, but then they were like going to out him from it. And then he was like, now you have to go to Le Mans to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Never happen.
No one jumps that fast. It was very much like video game esque, where you're just like hopping from class to class, and it's just like, all right, well, in order to prove everyone wrong, you're gonna go do the biggest race ever. Yeah. And it's just like,
now you gotta get your super license.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we've been doing this a year. But besides some, you know, skill acceleration,
they gotta Hollywood it up a little bit, you know.
But they did a good job.
How was Amelia Hartford in it?
She didn't have a crazy major role. She was
more of an Easter egg, I felt like.
I think so. Yeah she was part of the school. She was just kind of, not, I wouldn't say side character, because you know, they kind of had a small group of
was
people.
She competing against him?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
They were competing inside the school because it was an elimination style like bracket.
You're out.
Yeah, it was like, hey, if you, by this certain point in the class, if you aren't faster in the top five, then you get ejected, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because later in the movie, everyone got in the race.
Yeah. So, well, the top three guys, right?
Well, no, like, they all got picked up by other teams.
That's true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter what team you're on as long as you're getting a race.
And well, they still got the experience. The
exposure. Yeah. Experience. It's just like American Idol. Just because you didn't win American Idol doesn't mean people didn't recognize your skill, you know, because like, it's a competition at the end of the day.
No one even knows who Kelly Clarkson is. Everyone knows who Bo Bice is, right?
Who's the skater you were talking about?
Chad right? Muska?
Yeah, everyone knows Chad Muska, right?
Different story.
Sorry, but just needed to bring it back to Chad Muska.
Yeah. You might have noticed that Nolan is out. He's going to be out this whole month because he was shooting Hilo. Mm-hmm. Now it's his wedding week, so he has to take the whole week off for some reason.
Mentally prepare.
Yeah.
Mentally get ready. Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to be locked down.
I mean, we've been extremely busy.
Sure. You know? I'm casting shade on it. Only because I have to recast him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's wrong with, we're not going to know.
Oh my God, I got everyone on my back. Well, should we jump into it?
Yeah.
Well, first, I have a little road trip snack.
Oh, nice, Jimmy.
Yeah.
This orange creamsicle. No,
that's
candle.
Inedible.
That's a candle. You cannot eat that.
It smells so good.
Unless you're on My Strange Addictions.
You brought that in, right?
Yeah, I hit up Huff. They did this like Corvette candle. And Alex actually was like, we really got to get one of those. And I hit him up and they were just like, yeah, sure, I'll send one.
Sick. You should actually use it.
No.
It's a C5 or C4?
It's a
C4.
Yeah, the back.
That's a C4.
That Fitment is garbage, though.
It, you know, it very looks of like the time.
Yeah, it's very old school.
No, I think it's just the way the mold had to be.
Yeah, makes sense.
I'm pretty sure they stuck the wheels on later. But anyway, you can't see this because this is a podcast.
Yeah.
All right. That's right. Head over to youtube.com/donutpodcasts if you want to see the candle that we're talking about.
Yeah.
It smells amazing.
And if you want to see these chicken nuggets, which I'm going to offer to you guys.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Chickies, nuggies.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, of course.
Normally I'd eat these with sauce, but
I don't have any sauce.
So these are chicken nuggets from McDonald's. Mm-hmm. We are rating road trip snacks because this is a road trip podcast. Mm-hmm.
These are
I even crunching into it, this is a classic road trip snack. Mm-hmm. I actually only eat McDonald's when I'm on the road. I limit myself because I'd eat it every week if left to my own devices.
So good.
That's a good nugget.
Mm-hmm. It's a good nugget. I don't even care how processed it is.
Yeah. GMOs? What the heck's that? I just ignore it.
Get Mo nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jim.
What's your go-to McDonald's sauce?
Ranch.
Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I like their sweet and sour.
Mm-hmm. I'm a sauceless guy. I'm weird
like
that.
Well, when it comes to nuggets, I don't like to dip and drive. You know, I just eat them.
It makes it harder.
They're definitely not going to be there by the time
that's,
I get home.
That's the same. I'm the same way.
I also don't eat fries with ketchup.
Me neither.
Oh, yeah. Really?
It depends. They got to be bad fries to want ketchup.
Yeah.
Or so good that I need to try ketchup, but, you know, usually
it's not
just
necessary.
Yeah, it's not.
I knew a girl in high school who would go through a large fry at McDonald's and eat 42 packets of ketchup with it.
What?
Which is basically a whole packet per fry. Isn't that insane? That's
They're
so
McDonald's
much salt
fries.
And ketchup.
Where is she nowadays?
She's probably doing very well.
Yeah, probably. That's like the one thing.
Yeah, I know, right?
What am I rating it against?
Or just like
1 to 10. Okay, yeah. So McDonald's chicken nuggets, when they're good, 8.5.
8.5 is great. Yeah. I'd venture to say 9.
Yeah, I'll say 9.
Yeah.
9 for me, for
one
sure.
One of the top road trip snacks. Doesn't leave a lot of grease.
Yeah, not a greasy
guy. As long as you don't sauce them.
Yeah.
Your hands are clean.
You know, one of my pet peeves is like getting McDonald's ketchup on my hands and then it smells like ketchup the whole day.
Yep.
Even
after washing it. It's gross. These are pretty clean compared to other stuff at McDonald's.
What would you say your go-to number one
road trip snack?
Yeah, road trip snack is.
I think the consensus, we've only done this 3 times so far, but the consensus is that jerky is the best road trip snack. And we'll have it on eventually as one of our, we'll rate it eventually.
You can't do it. That can't be like one of the first ones.
No, because it's going to be high.
Yeah.
You're going to blow the load.
Yeah.
Don't blow your load. Not in the car.
Not in the car, dude. Wait.
Mine are the Smucker's.
Oh, Uncrustables?
Uncrustables.
God. You brought those on our hiking trip.
Oh.
It almost got us killed, but not the Uncrustables.
not the Uncrustables.
Yeah.
The trip.
Those are a highlight of the hike. All right, let's jump into it. The eldest of two boys, Jan Martinborough was born in Darlington, England on September 9th, 1991, to Leslie Ann and Steve Martinborough. Later, his family moved to Cardiff, Wales.
Cardiff. I'm from Wales. I'm part Welsh.
Really?
From my Australian side, apparently.
Sheep shagger. That's what they call him over there.
No! I've never seen a sheep in my life.
Is that true?
I've seen a sheep.
Okay. You are a sheep.
Oh. That's a good one. All right.
We're not even one paragraph into this.
And I'm getting roasted. Welcome to Past Gas.
Having played football professionally, Jan's father was a big believer in setting high goals and living your dreams. He encouraged his boys to think big. As a child, Jan's favorite toys were trucks and matchbox cars. He was mesmerized by anything with wheels. When he wasn't playing with cars, he'd spend hours watching motorsports, particularly British touring cars and F1.
BTCC, British Touring Car Championship.
You got your Aston Martins. You got your Jaguar.
No, more like Minis. Opals and
small ones.
BMWs and like four-door saloon. Not like big saloons, but four-door
was
compacts.
Volvo in that one? Was Volvo in that one with the wagons?
I think so. Volvo was in that.
Yeah.
No one was a bigger supporter of this dream than his father. In a recent interview with GT Planet, Jan recalled,
"The first conversation I had with my dad about driving, he'd tell me and my younger brother, Kobe, to do something in your life which is your purpose and that you're passionate about."
That was like a, you were doing someone else's impression within an impression.
Yeah. That's my first impression of the day. So it's only going to get better from here.
Yeah,
I'm just warming up.
It was Steve who took Jan to his very first go-karting track. Even then, at the age of 8, Jan took to driving as if he had been doing it his whole life. After returning a few times, people began to take notice of his innate talent, with the owner of the track making a point to tell Steve that his boy was a natural-born racer.
He's a natural, that boy.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, Jimmy. In the movie, the dad was not supportive.
That's a big discrepancy that we talk about in this script.
But it wouldn't have been as good if he was just because he needed something to hold him back.
Yeah.
And it was mainly him getting in trouble and his dad being like, go do something else. Video games are dumb.
Yeah.
And it was that guy. What's his name? It's the guy that was in Guardians of the Galaxy in the beginning with the orb.
Yeah.
And he's always like, who is this Star-Lord? It was him. It's always him. He's always someone's dad or something. I just saw...
he's a good
quiet
dad
place.
Guy.
I just saw Quiet Place, and he was just like this side character dad that kept reappearing. The new Quiet Place.
Wait, Orlando Bloom?
No.
Not Orlando Bloom.
David Harbour? Oh, Jimon Hounsou.
Yeah,
I love that dude.
Yeah, he's in everything.
Great name.
Yeah. He was in Amistad.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, he's just always like the cool dad, or just like the funny villain, or the serious. You know, he's in everything.
Yeah, he's very serious.
Like, he was a dad in this movie.
Okay, yeah. I got to see it now.
So he was just like really angry. Yeah. Like, oh, do something else outside.
Video game.
Go work.
Stupid.
You can come work at the railroad with me.
It's the railroad.
Your brother has so much potential at soccer.
Yeah.
His dad was a professional.
Yeah, soccer player. So he gave up. He gave up football and to work hard because I think he got injured or something.
Yeah,
okay. He really wanted his boys to focus on that. So that's the one major discrepancy.
You got to have something driving the main character.
Right. I mean, that's what I was saying. It was a great sports movie.
Yeah.
Soon,
Jan and his father were regulars at the karting track. Jan's biggest thrill was going fast.
Love going fast.
With support from his family, a clear vision, and a circuit to practice on, it seemed like Jan was all set up to begin his career in racing. But 3 years later, everything would come to a screeching halt when their local karting track unexpectedly closed for good.
That's a shame. No. Dang.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's the dream killer.
That,
right there.
That would have been good in the movie.
Yeah.
That would have been
good. What if he had to like save up money to buy it?
Yeah. And then he owns the track.
And he never becomes a race car driver.
I'm the kart track owner.
That's what we're doing for Willow Springs.
Oh, yeah.
That's the movie that's coming to Netflix.
Wasn't it sold already?
Is it sold?
I thought someone bought it.
I don't know.
Haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
There's potential buyers.
There's a lot of potential buyers.
You know, I'm announcing here today that I have bought Willow Springs.
No.
Yeah. You know, I think the racetrack's going to be a good investment.
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're not going to lose any money on the racetrack.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to the show. Saying goodbye to a track that had become his home was devastating for Jan. There were no other local tracks, and traveling regularly just a cart was just too expensive. The cost of travel fees, track membership, and equipment costs can make racing inaccessible for most people to break into, and Jan's family lived modestly. Without any connections to the world of motorsport, his dream took a back seat to reality. But that didn't mean that he had to give up on his love for the sport. Jan took what he had learned on track and applied it to video games. His favorite was Gran Turismo. A few years prior, Jan had discovered the game at his parents' friend's house. Whenever his family visited, Jan would sneak away, boot up the PS1, and spend a few hours running laps while the adults hung out in the other room.
Booted up the old PS1.
Boot up. Oh, that means hood it up in England.
Bonnet.
What?
Bonnet. Bonnet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bonnet. Jan's car of choice, a lilac-colored Mitsubishi 3000 GT.
That's everyone's car.
It wasn't mine.
That was. What'd you drive in Gran Turismo 1?
Feel like it was a Miata was my favorite. That's the one that you start off with, right?
Yeah.
Gran Turismo 1, I believe you can get the Mazda speed kit.
So the 3000 GT or the GTO, Mitsubishi GTO, it was the car that he crashes.
Wait, not GT, not Dodge Stealth?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't think the Stealth was in it, though.
Yeah.
But it's a VR6 twin turbo. So in Fast and the Furious, the guy's playing in his car. He's driving that car.
Yeah.
And it was like a known, like, that was the car to get because it was just so much better than everything else.
Yeah.
It was all-wheel drive and everything until you got like an R34 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But like that was the cheap car to buy and compete throughout most of the game.
Yeah. Is that a real color that it was offered in? I just remember them in red.
It was either red or white for me or black.
Yeah. Knowing how much it meant to him, his parents' friends later gifted the game.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. He played Gran Turismo 1.
I feel like that's always
how old was he?
Yeah.
1991.
So he's my age. Okay.
Yeah, he would have been like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
This all adds up now.
Yeah. After that, Jan then dove headfirst into his obsession and started clocking about 2 to 3 hours of sim racing every single day for the next 11 years.
Dang.
Man.
Get some grind on it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they say.
These are the kind of guys you run into online and you're like,
I'm not going to spend that much
experience.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I just came here to relax. I just wanted to drive my car.
I just wanted to have fun on this game. God, this guy's taking it so seriously.
And he's just like laughing.
Yeah.
Because this is just regular practice.
Noob.
Yeah.
After he graduated high school and got a job in retail, Jan had resigned himself to the notion that professional racing was out of his grasp. Like most kids in his situation, he figured that race cars were something he would only get to experience in video games.
Right.
But ever ambitious, he could at least make the most out of his virtual sessions. He wasn't afraid to put in the work.
There was this house in my hometown that I used to walk by a lot. We had a greenway.
Yeah.
And this house was right at the end of the greenway. And from, I would say, I walked in that greenway since I was like 6. And I would walk past his house and see this dad. I never saw the people. I just saw their stuff. And it went from little backyard off-road carts to full, like, professional, like, had a f-ing 3-car trailer, like, full of go-karts.
You saw the progression of that?
I saw the progression of whoever this kid was and their dad, like, just building a race team for
that's
him.
That's sick.
That's so
and
cool.
I was so jealous.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It was just, like, kicking my scooter by. It's like, what they got now?
Oh, no.
Wow.
Side by side. Great.
That cool sucks. Stuff.
I'm happy for you.
Next, you know, he had 3 trailers. You know, it's like, oh. He got into like the tiny NASCARs at one point. You know?
Oh, whoa.
It was just like,
damn. That's expensive.
So, yeah. Yeah, that was really upsetting.
In a 2023 interview with the Irish Times, he recalled,
I wanted a simulator rig, but I was 17. I couldn't afford it, so I picked a design brief and built a frame from MDF, composite wood, and painted it in Art Deco style. My parents wanted to incentivize me to do well, so they said, okay, if you get good results, we'll give you the money. I got £300 and I used that to buy the wheel and pedal to complete the rig.
Yeah, damn, Jimmy.
Great accent, dude. Also, like, very.
He's not Irish. I just saw Irish and I was like, oh.
Well, I think that was more Scottish.
Okay.
It was like Northern UK.
I'm dialing it in.
It's great, though. I love the swing you're taking.
Okay, thank you.
In 2011, Jan logged on to Gran Turismo and was notified that due to his impressive lap times, he was eligible to participate in an exclusive online competition against other top GT drivers.
Wonder what that moment was like.
God.
You log in and that's the message you get on the board and it's like, yeah. Whoa.
It's like getting an acceptance letter to Yale or something.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't really into Time Attack, Jan couldn't pass on this opportunity.
Yeah, you have the skills, man. You're good to go.
Yeah. But this was no ordinary time trial competition. This was the first point of entry into GT Academy. GT Academy was the brainchild of Darren Cox, a former Nissan Europe executive who wanted to use Gran Turismo to find and develop untapped racing talent and transform them from real gamers to real-world drivers.
It's a brilliant idea.
Revolutionary for the time. The winners of online trials would be taken to a race camp and trained in a real race car. Their competitions would be televised as they fought to be the last person standing, solidifying themselves as a bona fide racer. This idea became GT Academy, running from 2008 to 2016.
I remember watching the first season, and it was really just like, can these nerds even drive? Yeah. And a lot, like half the field didn't know how to drive manual, you know?
Oh, wow.
And it was like, especially in the UK, it was like,
That's interesting.
What? Yeah. You don't know?
Because they were young or
they
just
were probably either really young or some places you have to get a license for it or whatever.
Yeah.
But, there was a lot of people that just like, hey, go like, do a J turn, like dude, just whip a shitty right here real quick. And they're like, I don't know how to do that. And it's like, okay, peace. You know, it's like, get out. Yeah. So it was a very exciting show.
Yeah. That's cool.
Damn. That dreams were probably crushed pretty fast.
Pretty hard. But like some of these kids were literally just like, I've only ever played online. I don't even have
I've only ridden in me mum's car.
Yeah. Like
probably only on like a PlayStation controller too.
Like they were just good at video games. Like so even a racing game was easy for them, but like they never knew how to drive.
2011, that would have been which Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo 5.
Gran Turismo 5 is 2011. In PlayStation's words,
GT Academy is a virtual to reality competition where we, along with Nissan, seek to answer the question, can you take a Gran Turismo gamer and turn them into a real-life racing driver?
That was perfect.
Yeah, that's really good. To prepare, Jan upped his training time to 5 hours of play a day. That's crazy.
That's wild.
Wow.
As any good parents would be, his parents grew concerned about their son's video game obsession.
Of course, in the early days, we did not have any concerns over the amount of time he spent on the PlayStation.
His mother, Leslie Ann, once confessed.
But I'm so glad he put in the hours now.
I bet she is.
Yeah. What, you practice at home, Jimmy? Jeez, bro.
I'm getting good
at it.
Man, boy, hot pockets. That's all I can think of.
Bathroom.
You've seen that South Park episode, right?
No.
They play World of Warcraft for like 12 hours a day or something.
When he's like that guy?
Yeah.
He
shits in a
bucket.
Oh, yeah,
the poop bucket. Yeah.
That's a great episode.
That's really good episode.
They won awards for that one.
Yeah,
they like the animation and everything for the World of Warcraft. They got a lot of stuff for that.
The initial phase of competition involved competing with other online players to set the fastest lap over the course of 4 rounds. Out of 90,000 virtual competitors, Jan Martinborough ran the fastest lap in his region. He then moved on to the second phase. The holders of the 20 fastest online lap times from territories across Europe would compete online in the national finals event. It was the most important 4-round race he would ever experience, but Martinborough's cool head and determination propelled him forward in the competition as one by one his competitors were eliminated. He had done it. He had made it to the top 12. His spot in the academy was secured. Jan was finally going to get behind the wheel of a real race car.
The thing is, the season he was in wasn't the first season. That was the funny part. So it's like,
in the movie, they made it seem like the first season.
Right. Yeah. But in real life, they had already been through four, I think.
Yeah, this would have been the fourth, third, because it was 2008, 2011.
Yeah. So being surprised when you got the message, I think could be a stretch, you know, but it's still a shock.
Yeah.
You know, because by then that was everyone's goal. Mm-hmm. I got to be the best. I got to get invited. Because they did an American one later, I believe.
Oh, okay. And this was just place. Did like Xbox ever do anything like Forza or something?
No, it was a Nissan PlayStation deal.
Got it.
Forza never did anything like this. The mechanics, they're both sim games, but the mechanics are slightly different. And then the way the Xbox controller is changes everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now that crossplay is a thing, you know, it's funny playing PlayStation people against like Xbox people. I thought PlayStation people were better.
Yeah.
But they're not.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's that noticeable?
It's pretty noticeable.
Oh, we're starting a console war.
Yeah, console wars on the podcast. Let's go. But racing games never cross over because they're always exclusive. So there's really no way to know until like PC ports and stuff. But
yeah,
Gran Turismo is very strictly PlayStation. And being the partnership with Nissan, mm-hmm. I'm they got the drive GTR. It's like... 370s and then later GTRs, I believe. No, their race cars were GTRs.
Well, it looks like up ahead we'll be learning about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me shut up.
This guy reads ahead. Race camp was held at the world famous Silverstone Circuit in the UK.
Which is crazy because that's a high-speed track.
That's super high-speed.
An F1 track.
Very technical.
But it's not, you know, it's like wide.
It is
so
very wide.
If you slide out, you're like going onto more tarmac.
That's fine, but it's like, To get to do that is the first one. Is so
cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
Splitting off into regions, the competitors were assigned mentors and judges, professionals who could show them how to operate the vehicles, how to pit, how to operate safely, and provide general guidance and background knowledge of the course. Jan's mentor was former F1 champion Johnny Herbert.
What a name.
That's a solid name.
That is a really... Hey, John Herb.
Johnny Herbs. They would be racing in Nissan 370Zs, which is sick. That's awesome.
Because they were brand new back then. So.
The transition into real car was far more physically taxing than Jan had anticipated, leaving him sore and exhausted at the end of every day. As he later recalled in an interview, quote,
"You have to have muscles in certain areas that normal people don't have. Your head can weigh 4 times the weight that it normally does. So with the helmet on your head, could weigh for 24 kilograms sometimes. That's why racing drivers have quite big necks. Your body takes a pounding. Your heart rate is a minimum of 150 beats per minute, and it stays at the rate for hours. And you can burn 1,000 calories in 2 hours. It's not just sitting around and driving. You're really wrestling a machine."
Let's pause for a second, mm-hmm. because you are moving your way down to Wales. That was like a Liverpool accent.
Yeah.
And that's, first you went Scotland, now you're at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Then I don't know what Manchester is next, and then you're going to make it to Wales eventually.
He's playing GeoGuessr with his accents over
Yeah,
here.
I'm just trying to remember
Jimmy's killing it.
The voices from Little Britain. You ever watch that?
Oh, that takes place in Wales?
No, it's just like a comedy sketch show with a ton of different like British accents. Pretty funny. I'd check it out.
I will check it out, yeah.
It's really funny.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to the show.
GeoGuessr accents would be...
That would be
a pretty challenging game.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Don't take that idea.
Someone do it.
I just watched a GeoGuessr finals competition between Gio Reinbolt and this other dude I had never heard of. But
imagine.
Man, Gio Reinbolt can see an upside down picture in black and white with 4 pixels and be like, that's South Africa.
Did he like travel a lot or something?
No, he just
plays that game so
zooms
much.
Zooms in on Google Earth. That's all he does.
I used to do that in middle school.
GeoGuessr?
No, just zoom in on Google Earth.
I still do that.
This whole channel's around that.
Yeah,
whole
absolutely.
YouTube channel's like, I found this weird structure
in the Arizona Desert.
I'm just going to go find it.
It's There's a guy named GeoWizard who started off doing GeoGuessr and then started doing challenges like I went across the UK in a straight line.
Oh, yeah.
And he would hike and he's like, this is such a bad idea. Why did I do this? He's like drowning in this like mud and he's like, oh, this was a mistake.
Oh, I really biffed it up this time.
Yeah. And then he gets out of it and he's like, I've never been that close to death before and no one knows I'm here.
Yeah, no one actually does.
I wonder if they'll have a GeoGuessr boot camp, just like GT Academy. And the CIA will throw it.
Well, they did a challenge with Geo Rainbolt where they took him blindfolded in a plane and took him up in a skydiving plane had him strapped to someone blindfolded, jumped out, and they had him take his blindfold off. Uh-huh. And he had to figure out where he was before he hit the ground.
Was this and Red Bull?
Yeah, I think it was Red Bull.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this all makes sense now.
You're
That's
falling.
Crazy. He was able to figure it out.
Yeah.
That road.
Yeah.
He's trying to zoom, but it's real life.
It would be harder because he goes off of the lines on the road, the bollards, the lines on the bollards, the vegetation, the telephone poles, all that stuff is clues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Anyways, back at Silverstone, race camp was a grueling week of driving boot camp with driving challenges and military-style physical conditioning. One morning, the contestants were awoken by alarms, driven to a remote area in the woods, and made to run through a course of smoke grenades.
That sounds awesome.
Over the top.
Very not relative to racing, but, whipping people into shape is fun. Yeah.
They were strapped into harnesses and attached to the front of their Nissan 370s, which they then physically pulled onto the track.
Oh, whoa. I could not do that.
It was a shot in the movie?
See, but this was not in the movie.
The movie
was all about driving. Oh, yeah. but what is cool about this is this brings back what I said earlier about it being a show and a challenge.
Yeah.
Because this has nothing to do with your racing capability. Just like, hey, are you going to endure what we're going to throw at you for this prize, this test? You know, my goodness. Like, hey, we need someone that's at least close to being shaped.
Yeah. After the car was in place, they would hop in, drive laps, jump out, and complete several more laps on bikes, and finally complete the race with a final lap of running.
Whoa.
Some competitors dropped out. Others were eliminated. Finally, the competition was narrowed down to four potential winners. Danilo Bordino, Carlos Murillo, Thibaut Lacombe, and Jan Marnbra.
So they didn't do any driving. They just only worked out.
No.
They did, in the middle of all that stuff, they did laps in their 370s.
Wake up. Smoke grenades.
Pull your car onto the
track. Do
laps. Just
do laps.
Get out, do a lap on your bike, do a lap on your feet after that.
And then get more smoke grenades thrown at you.
Hopefully not the full Silverstone, because that's insane.
No, that was 2.5 miles, 3 miles.
Yeah.
I guarantee it was Silverstone.
No, hopefully not the full track, though.
Yeah.
Maybe half track.
Okay.
Yeah. Finals were held on October 9th at Silverstone. After standing out among millions of GT players, a 20-minute race would determine which of the final four would take home the grand prize. From the beginning, Lacombe and Martinborough were neck and neck. Jan started in the top position with a flawless launch, but the Frenchman was hot on his tail. Then when Martinborough missed a gear, Lacombe passed him, taking the lead. At that moment, Jan saw his dream slipping away. He saw himself in second place, proud but ultimately ending up back where he began, living with his parents, working a job he didn't care about. He was not about to let a missed shift dictate his entire future. With renewed focus, Jan had one last chance to give it everything he had. He would later tell Forbes, quote,
"Driving's like dancing. If you're uptight, it shows you become robotic. I was there because I was good. But then you need a little bit of spice to unlock that."
Dude, you're getting there. That's like Manchester.
Dialing it in, dude.
London-ish. As the race wound to a close, Jan retook the lead.
A misshift can really mess things up.
Dude.
I misshifted in the employee drag race we did.
And you still won.
You almost lost.
Yeah.
Dude. Aston Miata?
Your worst nightmare.
If I'd lost, I would have sold all my Miatas. I would have given it all up.
Martinborough proved to be a fierce competitor that day, his thousands of hours at home translating into real-life grit and talent. He finished in first, winning by 8 seconds. Quote,
I'm really buzzing. Ecstatic.
Jan said on the podium.
This competition is going to change my life massively.
Oh, we're back up to Scotland.
It's going to keep changing.
Exactly 1 month after his 20th birthday, Jan was the youngest person in history to win this historic competition, earning him a spot in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Do you think he had to pay for that? Or do you think Nissan paid for that?
I bet Nissan did. That's exposure.
Yeah.
For a young brand like Nissan.
I wonder what color that book was. If that was a... Because you know all the books are different.
If it was the 20... No, I think I stopped buying them around 2008.
Okay.
I bought all the big ones with like the holographic cover.
Yeah, yeah. I had three of those. I don't know, remember what years I had.
Victory had earned Jan a spot in a six-month development program with Nissan and an international racing license, something that normally takes 3 years to acquire. That's sick.
Wow.
As part of his contract with Nissan, he competed in races across the UK, honing skills and gaining more experience on the track. Jan was eager to continue racing. He remembered his father's words about finding a passion, finding a purpose. He knew his purpose was to race cars, and he would keep honing his craft. Some of his initial opportunities were at the British GT Championship, the Blancpain Endurance Series, and the Dubai 24-hour race. I think Blancpain just means white bread.
Nice.
That's my favorite endurance race, where the drivers have to eat white bread in the cars.
Yeah, with nothing to drink.
Yep.
A whole loaf.
We were just filming in Tennessee, me and Steph, and she was like, what does honky tonk mean? Because like every bar is called honky tonk.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it's just like a country thing. I don't know. And so we
did
asked,
look it up?
We looked it up and we asked people. It literally means white dive bar. Like white trash dive bar. That's like the whole point.
That's funny. Held at the Dubai Autodrome, the Dubai 24-hour race tested his patience, stamina, and ability to focus over an extended period of time. In one of his first major victories, Martinborough finished third in class.
That's crazy for an endurance race.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. I mean, those really 5-hour sessions really paid off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He already did it as a gamer.
Yeah.
But obviously, 24-hour race, he wasn't the only one driving.
Yeah.
So depending on who was on his team.
That's why 5-hour stints, dude.
Yeah. But 5-hour stints is a good one. But no menus, you know. You're just driving.
No menus. Yeah. No hot pockets from mom.
No bathroom
shit
breaks.
Bucket.
Actually, this car did have a shit bucket in it.
Pops out onto the track.
Do we know what class car this one was?
I'm assuming this was GTR.
GTR, not the prototypes. Like, so by this point in the movie, he's driving prototype cars. Only the top level drivers get
to drive. No one's ever driven it before. Jan, you're going to be the first pilot.
No. I meant P1. So there's like P1 and P2 and P3, I think. So they're like the super low to the ground, full aero. Closed cockpit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was driving those in the movie within his first year of racing. And it was
not realistic. In 2013, Jan was paired up with Michael Krom and another previous GT Academy winner, Lucas Ordonez, to compete for Greaves Motorsport in the 24 Hours of Le Mans race. So that was something they had in the movie. Mm-hmm. Through a damp and gloomy 24 hours, the three drivers alternated turns at the wheel of their Zytec Z11SN Nissan, with Jan keeping up with his more experienced counterparts, taking them to the top four in their class.
So I remember after GT Academy was an established thing, there were a lot of these race series that really rejected them.
Really?
Like, they just did not want them there. Mm-hmm. And they kind of...
It's like a gimmick or something?
Well, yeah. They're like, these kids don't know anything about racing, right? But really, it was like... what do you call those? Gentlemen driver clubs or whatever? Like just rich dudes?
Yeah. Kind of just gatekeeping?
Yeah, they were gatekeeping. It was literally just rich dudes who bought their way in or whatever, driving around just like, hey, you know, we're just gentlemen drivers. We're just doing our thing. These kids don't need to be in here, but these kids were way faster than them because they're actually race car drivers.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah.
Lance Strollitis. After re-inspection, the third place finisher was found guilty of constructing a fuel tank against race regulations, resulting in their disqualification.
Uh-oh, I hate it when that happens.
When your gas tank is too
fat.
Yeah. This bumped Martinborough and Ordonez up from fourth position to third place in their class and ninth overall.
Dang.
Le Mans
ninth
proved,
overall. That's crazy.
That's sick.
That's top 10.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot of YouTube videos that are top 10s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Le Mans proved that Jan wasn't just a fluke. He had the skill to back it up. At 22 years old, Jan had a shot at a lifelong dream when he was selected by Arden International to compete as a GP3 driver. This, coupled with his development partnership with Red Bull, meant he was even closer to becoming an F1 driver. Quickly, the young Brit became one of the most successful GP3 drivers in their arsenal. In merely half a decade, Martinborough had gone from playing video games in his parents' house to a life of fame and success in the racing world, living out his wildest dreams. It seemed like Jan was on track to fulfill every last item on his bucket list before he turned 30. However, something was about to happen that would change Martinborough's life forever. On March 28th, on March 28th, 2015, Jan competed in the VLN endurance race held at Germany's Nürburgring Nordschleife course. Its dangerous history and propensity for horrific crashes, maybe most notably the 1976 crash of Niki Lauda, got Nordschleife taken out of the Formula One rotation. However, it was still operable and used by other racing events as a circuit. That is how Martinborough found himself, a relative novice to racing in extreme conditions, out on the field that day.
What's the other name? Green Hell?
Green Hell. Yeah. I was just thinking the other day, you know, like all those like Silodrome and Petrolicious type Instagram accounts just do the same kind of like love letter posts all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's always like every week there's one on Niki Lauda, like with his burn mask.
Yeah.
But that is a crazy story that he crashed, you know, like his lungs were like scarred like crazy. His blood was poisoned and stuff.
Deformed,
and he still came back and competed. Yeah. I think he missed like four races or something.
Yeah.
That's a love of the sport.
Yeah. It's kind of dumb though. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's what.
Just take another week off.
I mean, at that point, you don't have anything else to lose.
That's true. Initially, Jan struggled to navigate the notoriously difficult layout of the 14-mile circuit. As he finally began to gain the lead, Martinborough's Nissan GT3 Nismo went nose up, causing it to become airborne and flip wildly towards the fence. Martinborough's vehicle cleared the safety barriers, and his car landed in a crowd of spectators.
Yikes.
Yeah. The video of this is really crazy. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, it looks pretty accurate.
Which is really, it was a really intense moment.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks, you know, it's just the danger of it all. Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd have fixed that part of the track by now. But
it is weird. Like, has that happened to any other car?
It's
at
happened
that point?
Before. Yeah. It's actually known for that being a possible issue. Yeah.
It would take some serious, like, regrading of the.
Of the earth.
Yeah.
Some terraforming.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, I'm just looking at the crash now. Jesus.
Yeah. Not pretty. The thing though is like as someone like he was a guy that played video games to get to this point. You think he would have had thousands of laps on Nürburgring at this point.
But that's where maybe the video game physics don't line up with reality.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, could you flip over end over end
in a Gran Turismo? Game?
If you hit a wall hard enough, but I've never, like, caught air.
Not that kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. You'd have to hit a ramp or something would have to unbalance the game to make it flip. No lift. I don't think there is lift.
I think in Project Cars, they have lift.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you, on a rally car, if you're doing anything in that game, you start to like, from the in-person view, you like,
and
you hit the ground.
Remember when we would do the Group C car
on that
Scottish course? And there were points where you do go flying. Lift,
I think Forza doesn't like, I know, cause you do a lot of jumping in like Forza Horizon and whatnot. Yeah. And I think there's a slight lift in Forza, but not.
It's more arcadey though.
It's not. I'm even talking about motorsport.
It's not like
real that kind of lift where literally like your aerodynamics make you an airplane.
This is like very rare, like this and that Mercedes GT1.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like the perfect conditions that cause this.
Right. Yeah, exactly. There's three X's that need to be in line for it to happen, but it's not something that's not going to happen.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So tragically, this incident left multiple people injured and resulted in the death of one spectator, a man named Andy Gehrman.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Shockingly, 23-year-old Martinborough emerged relatively unscathed.
But traumatized.
Yeah, I mean, that would mess you up. Anytime something like this occurs at a race, the community is reminded that the sport is extremely dangerous. Nissan immediately released a statement, quote,
"Today's events have been a tragedy. We are all deeply shocked and saddened by these events, and our immediate thoughts go to the deceased, those injured, and their families and friends. The team is fully cooperating with the race organizers to conduct an immediate and thorough investigation into the incident."
In an interview with the Irish Times in 2023, Jan cited the accident as, quote,
"the darkest moment of my personal and professional life."
The guilt overwhelmed him. Knowing that he had been behind the wheel of a car that took someone else's life, accident or not, was excruciating. After the accident, Martinborough did his best to pick himself up and find a new footing in his career. Eager for a change in scenery, he made a dramatic move, leaving his home in the UK to race in Japan. 5 years after his big break at GT Academy, Martinborough was making a name for himself as an international race car driver. What could have easily been a mere 15 minutes of fame had now officially become a sustainable career. He kicked off the 2016 season by testing for both F3 and Super GT.
Oh, I wasn't expecting to see that.
No. On September 26th, at the grand finale of the 2016 All Japan F3 Open Wheel Series, Jan qualified in third place. An impressive start that sparked a rivalry on the track between him and fellow driver Kenta Yamashita, a young Japanese racer who had placed second the previous year. By the end, Martinborough took second in the championship, only 3 points behind Yamashita. This was a validating experience for Jan, proving that he had the racing chops to compete with the freshest and best talent in Japan. Martinborough once again partnered with Nissan, joining their Impul team in the Super GT's top GT500 class.
Yo, Jimmy's dreams. Oh
this man, is awesome.
Is Jimmy getting the sim rig.
Impul is CalSonic, so that's the blue GTRs. Mm-hmm. Very famous team. That's really cool.
Dude, that's sick.
That's awesome.
Literally on your laptop.
Yeah, right there.
Whoa,
that's a Team Impul car.
And they have a Stocky on their sticker.
This is really cool. That's awesome. Team Impul is really cool.
Yeah. Did they change their name or is it just associated with CalSonic?
It's both. Like it's Impul, I think. CalSonic is
Australia?
The company.
Okay. So Jan finished in the top eight on three occasions, placing 14th overall in the series. He continued into the 2018 season, racing in the Super GT with Daiki Sasaki by his side before being moved to the Kondo team in 2019.
Oh.
No stranger to taking pole, headlines finally stopped describing him as, quote, gamer turned driver, and simply addressed him as Jan Martinborough.
Oh, yeah. There's a gamer driver now in FD. He's like 14, 15.
Really?
Yeah, in Formula Drift. And literally, like, that's his, like, gimmick is, yeah, I did a 1,000 laps of drifting on this exact track before I came here today, and he podiums.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's like a force to be reckoned with, so.
The only thing that doesn't really like line up is physical strength.
Well, the fact that he's able to do both.
Yeah.
He learned doing it on the rig and drifting in real life. So he's just like, it's just like CAD. Yeah. You can't just design something on a computer and then just expect it to work in real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You design something in real life, put it in CAD, perfect it, and then remake it. And that's kind of how that works. And he's doing that. He's like, oh, I'm going to try drifting. But at the same time, I'm going to do it on a sim rig because I can't be at those locations.
Yeah.
So he's like, he knew how to drift. So then he just took that online.
Spoken like a true industrial designer.
This is awesome. I actually saw him compete.
Oh,
because I went to Super GT in 2019.
In Japan? In
Japan. I actually went to the Suzuka race and he was there.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Hell
I had no idea.
Well, unfortunately, Jan was unceremoniously dropped from his partnership with Nissan in 2021. He took the sudden loss hard, becoming restless as he struggled to maintain the trajectory of a traditional racing career. But he never was a traditional driver. He started as a gamer, doing what he loved and setting his sights on winning a competition that, at the time, felt like an impossible goal. But he did it. Now, at 30 years old, he was about to experience another near impossible, having his life story made into a movie.
My life's a movie.
My life's a movie, dude.
Last night was a movie.
My life's a podcast.
My life's a joke.
Your life is a YouTube series.
Yeah. There you go.
Jan has continued to be involved in the world of racing in multiple avenues. He spent 2021 and 2022 working with Nissan and McLaren as a developer in Formula E. Whoa, I didn't know that. He also served as a judge on the second season of World's Fastest Gamer, a televised competition that gathered sim racers from multiple platforms and had them compete for the chance to earn a $1 million GT drive.
Dude, that's cool because it's not that's locked awesome. In to yeah. Gran Turismo and Nissan, so they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, yeah. You can get your iRacers. You can get yeah. your Garfield
pole,
racing
your
game.
Your pole position guys.
Yeah.
You get your like Mario Kart people that bounce yeah. the yeah. car around the corner.
Where's the banana? That's cool. I like. You have to also think sim technology has changed so much.
Yeah.
Since when Jan started, because sure. now they've got like systems with like it has the
hydraulics,
moving,
yeah,
and so, the feel.
So is he still racing?
Well, funny you say that. Martinborough hasn't lost his passion for being on the track. This year, after so much time spent in Japan, Martinborough returned to his home turf, driving a McLaren 720S GT3 Evo.
Yo.
Sheesh. Oh. Bro.
Yo, chill.
chill. That's fire. Martinborough returned to British GT for the Silverstone 500. It seems that anything Jan sets his mind to, he accomplishes. From racing to car development to movie production, he has been successful in so many different areas, all at the age of 33. In an interview with GT Planet, he announced that he is hoping to get back into racing full-time in 2025, perhaps even breaking into the American racing market.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On a trip to Indianapolis this past spring, Martinborough spoke with WTHR expressing his desire to race in the Indianapolis 500. When asked about what inspires his ambitious career goals, he said, quote,
"It's what I believe I was put on earth to do. My purpose is to race a racing car, and I feel like I have a duty to show the world again that you can follow your dreams."
Hell yeah. Well, that's the story of Jan Martinborough. It seems like he's a very driven dude.
I love this guy.
Yeah.
Love Jan now.
You know, thinking back on it now, having like an athlete father probably helped him so much.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just the fact that he can run.
Yeah.
And he can, you know,
his
pull
dad
a
wasn't
car.
His dad wasn't wrenching. You yeah. know, his dad was like, "You're driving, baby."
I think Jan also owns an R32 GTR.
That would make sense.
Yeah. Oh, he sold it. Okay. He did sell it.
We have listener mail this week. This is from Jeremy Hubbard. He just suggests Betty Cook would make a great podcast topic. She is basically the Michelle Mouton of offshore racing.
Interesting.
Offshore.
And he linked the Wikipedia article. Betty Cook was an honors graduate from MIT and a world champion offshore powerboat racer.
Oh.
And was inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame in America in 1996.
Wow.
I like powerboats.
And that's her boat. Look at it. Taking flight, dude. That's
about
sick.
Taking flight, yeah.
We've never done boat content.
I think we need to do more boat content.
Yeah, let us know in the comments if you want us to do an episode on Betty Cook, first female offshore champion.
And let us know if you want us to buy a powerboat. I would like a powerboat. I don't know about you, Justin, but...
Where would we put it?
somewhere.
park it in downtown LA.
Yeah. Somewhere. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Put it on
we'll
the roof.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Roof.
On that note, follow our boys, Justin Freeman.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Hilton. Russell Jimmy.jpg.
Yeah.
And follow me, Joji Weber. If you haven't liked and subscribed, do that. Tell your friends about the podcast. That's how you grow.
Yeah.
And watch us on YouTube if you want.
Boy.
Get it done. Get her done.
Get her done.
Get it. Go play some sim racing.
Yeah, go play Gran Turismo.
Go follow your dreams.
Yes. Go follow your dreams.
Become a real driver.
Mom, give me the bucket.
Give me the bucket.
More hot buckets, Mom.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Hi, Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.